You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Cary Oberbrunner, devoted to helping you become a soul on fire.
Hey, this is Cary Oberbrunner. Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast. You guys ready to have some fun? I am. This is a fun episode, 81, and it's how to become a more strategic thinker. All right. Well, listen, I'm talking to you today. All right. I'm talking to you because this is a topic that just thrills my heart. I'm not even joking. I know it sounds a little weird. Why would I like thinking so much? Right? I mean, gee, there's so many other things we could do other than thinking, right? There's a guy who taught me how to think because by my normal upbringing, I wasn't really taught to think. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. You know, I don't think many of us are taught how to think well. And there's a guy named Mr. Moore all the way back from high school. He was the toughest teacher in the world for a high schooler. In fact, certain people pulled their kids from being in his class because they didn't want their kids' GPA to be hurt. So just picture this for a moment. It's almost a cross between Dead Poets Society, Robin Williams, and I don't know, just a really tough coach. If you can think about, I don't know, Mr. Miyagi, let's just do that. Cross between Mr. Miyagi and the Dead Poets Society teacher. I believe his name was Mr. Keating, something like that, John Keating. Yeah, now I know that's tough to imagine Robin Williams as an Asian guy, but it's cool, okay? Because here's why. Mr. Moore challenged me. Mr. Moore taught us how to think. Because by nature, let's face it, I was lazy. I was a lazy thinker back then. And I wanted to take the path of least resistance. And like any high schooler in the day, I wanted to go the easy route. And Mr. Moore basically recruited me. Oh, I don't think I've ever told this story. This is a cool story as a setup. All right, here it goes. Back in my little small school, there was the general history class and the advanced history class. And the advanced history class, you had to read a book over the summer. And I said, there's no way I'm reading a book over the summer. So what did I do? I said, forget it. I said, I'm going back to the general history class. This was, again, all in the year before my senior year. So I said no way, and I went to the general history class. Now, there's nothing wrong with the general history class, but I had never been in an advanced or AP or whatever class ever. I'm just being straight with you today. So here's the point. I said no way, and I went to the general history class because I did not want to read a book over the summer. Summer was way too important to spend whatever 3 hours reading a book. So I'm in the general history class the first 2 days of school, and in walks Mr. Moore. He interrupts the general history class, goes to the front of the room, whispers to the teacher, points to me, and then says, "You come with me." And I did the old, what, me? You know, point the finger at myself, look behind me, look to the left, to the right, like, is he talking to me? And sure enough, he motioned for his finger for me to follow him. I follow him down the hallway, and he is walking fast, brisk, not chatting, just walking very quickly. Now, what happened? I followed him down a stairway, down a hallway, into a room, and it's his room. And he says, "Sit." And I sit. And he looks at me from across his desk, and then throws a manila folder at me. enough where it didn't just flap into the wind, but it spun. You know, it kind of spun. It slid, and boom, I caught it with my hand, right? Just across, skimming across the table. And he said, look at this. And I said, what is it? He said, look at it. And I opened it up, and he said, this is your folder since sixth grade that I've been following you. Now, I went to a small school where basically you were in there K through 12. So I don't know, I guess he pulled a folder or something like that. And he pulled the folder, and he told me to open it up. So I open it up, and he says, Carrie, give me one reason why you are not capable of taking my advanced history class. And I'll tell you what, I was amazed at the audacity, the boldness, the care. See, because I like it when people care and get in your face, right? I really do. I respond to that well. I know some people don't, but for me, when somebody gets in my face and is a truth teller, and it's someone that's positionally higher than me, what do I mean by that? Someone who cares or is getting better results than me or is kick butt. I mean, I want to be called out by that person. And even at a young age, I guess I did. So, and in fact, I got to call someone out soon. I mean, I got to do this. This is why I do what I do today. If I've called you out, if you're one of my clients, usually I only call out clients, but sometimes I don't. You know, sometimes someone will email me and they'll give me this little story or something like that. And most people would just press delete or blow them off. And sadly, maybe sadly, I don't know, but I don't. I get in their face and I say, you know what, I should just delete this email, but I care too much. And then I kind of lay into the person. Why? Because I know that they're sabotaging their own success. There is a guy that just messaged me within the last 24 hours. He is absolutely sabotaging his success. He's got a good heart. He's got a good cause, but he's wondering why he's getting zero results for his nonprofit because he's doing it completely wrong. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going to go off for a little bit, but I have to. I have to. I have to. I have to. Folks, if you are a nonprofit or if you are a for-profit, if your marketing stinks, you stink. You stink temporarily to people that you're trying to get to be clients or supporters of you. And this guy right now stinks. He does. I'm sorry. He's got a great cause, but he thinks his great cause suddenly should make the world stop and say, oh, let's go throw cash at this guy. Look, especially if you're a charity asking for handouts, you better have smart marketing. I'm not talking expensive marketing. I'm not talking big budget. I'm talking about smart. And too many times, we, under the guise of nonprofit or cause or charity, we expect to get to the front of the line and beat out all the other messages that are just as important that are going around in the world. And my point is this, if you're a charity or a cause, you better have better marketing. And what do I mean by marketing? I'm talking about EQ. I'm talking about emotional intelligence. I'm talking about SQ, right? Social media intelligence, right? What do I mean by all this? Folks, I care about charities. I care about causes. That's where I came from. But sad to say, so many times people are getting repelled because they don't have somebody in their face telling them what's up. So anyway, side point, but it's a point I'm pretty passionate about right now at the moment. This is rolling around in my head. So fine, thanks for letting me get it out. I appreciate you for letting me vent a little bit. And I have a whole strategy to help this guy. Why? Because I care about him. But I'm going to lay into him. I'm going to lay into him and I'm going to give him a challenge. And if he isn't up for the challenge first, I'm not going to spend 1 minute of my time with him. But if he does, then I am going to help him understand why he's doing it wrong. And that's what Mr. Moore did to me. That's why I'm compelled to operate that way and be a truth teller, because Mr. Moore and Dr. Bateman and Chet Scott and Carl Munzmeier and Kelly Oberbrunner and David Branderhorst, I have enough truth tellers in my life to tell me, you have got a blind spot, buddy. And you know what? I care enough to tell you. And what's going to be your choice? And I can just pretend to be ignorant, or I can make adjustments, just like you today. I want to be that truth teller for you today, just like Mr. Moore was for me. If you're saying, Carrie, I'm already a strategic thinker. I'm already getting all the results I need in my life. I'm happy with where I am, fine. But you know what? If you are not, if you think you could improve in your strategic thinking, A, that tells me you're teachable, which is great. I meet people all the time who are unteachable. I don't want to spend a minute with those people. I tell those people not to be my clients. And they might say, but Carrie, I am teachable. No, they're not. They're not teachable. Teachable is humility. Humility. And you know what? There's all areas where we're not humble, and I get it. But you cannot learn if you think you do not need to learn. Let me say that again. You cannot learn if you think you don't need to learn. In other words, the first step of a breakthrough is you saying, I need help, I need answers, and I'm going to shut up long enough to listen. And then, even more importantly, I'm going to apply what I'm being told. And here's another big one. I'm willing to invest financially, invest time-wise. You can give all the lip service you want in the world, but if you're unwilling to put dollars behind your change, my favorite book and my favorite teacher said, where your treasure is, your heart is. So if you're not willing to put dollars behind your personal change, that tells me your heart's not in it. And I don't want people whose hearts aren't in it. Why? Because every single day I wake up with my heart in it. So therefore, when I see people, this is, look, hang on one second. We're in the Olympics right now. Imagine if someone came up to Michael Phelps and said, hey, Michael, my swimming's just not having that much success. And Michael Phelps says, which he probably gets all the time, can you be my coach, Michael? Can you show me this? Nobody understands Michael Phelps' training regimen. I just saw him on an interview the other day, and he said, you know what? I can't wait to actually not have to FaceTime my new baby and to actually not get email updates. Why? Because he's in training mode. You have no idea the cost that Michael Phelps has put forth to be the swimmer that he is. So when someone comes up to him with their Xbox controller in their hand and says, hey, gold medalist, why don't you invest in me and teach me a few things? What do you think he's thinking? He's thinking, buddy, you had no idea that I was up at 5 a.m. swimming laps. You have no idea what I've gone through. And I think many times when we go to someone who's getting better results than us, we need to really go with a spirit of humility. That encourages the guru, the coach. If you want to get on somebody's radar, you take what they say, you apply it, and then you get the results. You don't come back and say, well, you know, I tried it, but it didn't work at first, and blah, 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 blah. You want to repel somebody really quickly? Don't you think they had obstacles? Don't you think they could have made blaming, excusing, making excuses and living in denial, B-E-D, bed, get it, bed? Don't you think they could have made bed their MO, their method of operation? Absolutely. They have the same obstacles. They have the same alarm clock that's calling them back to sleep. And so many times I think we are just lazy. And I know I'm going off a little bit, but I'm sorry. My email inbox was full this week of people who were making excuses and blaming and living in denial and saying, you know, I tried this. And you know what's funny? the other side of my email inbox was, Carrie, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for teaching me this. Here's what I'm getting. Here's what's happening. And I get it. I am not trying to say, look, you never have a week where you get beat down. I get it. I had a week recently where I got beat down. Why? Because my editor said, your manuscript at 85,000 words needs to be 67,000 if it's going to be a book that is really going to do good in the world. So what did I do? I had to shift everything in my 5 days because that's the deadline I'm under. Did I lose sleep? Yes. See, I went through a season where I had to change things. I had to become a strategic thinker fast. And that's what I did. The deadline did not give me an option otherwise. So when I shift everything to make that happen, and trust me, you know, it was during the kids' first week of school. It was during my daughter's birthday. So what did I do? I pushed back to the editor and said, editor, I need one more day. One more day I can do it. I'm not going to rip off my daughter and her birthday. I'm not going to rip off my kids' first day of school. I get it. But I went to my editor, not the day of, before it was due. I knew it. The moment I got that back from her, I said, you know what? I'm budgeting my time and I need an extra day. Can I do that? And I was willing to pay her for the extra pressure. Like, that's the other thing. It's not just, hey, can I have another day? It's like, hey, if this is inconvenient for you, I will pay you extra because I value you. See, until you value other people's time, they realize you don't value your own time. If you want to impress somebody, start valuing their time. Like, whenever I'm trying to get in somebody's space who's bigger, faster, stronger, getting better results than me, oh my gosh, I absolutely value their time. Why? Because I know that I value my own time. And as a result, I extend that mutual respect. There are some people who have no clue what your time is worth. It's obvious. You know, these are people, I got to celebrate this guy. You talk about a guy who impressed me this week. It's a guy named Tim. I'm not going to tell you his last name. It's a guy named Tim. This guy, for months, has been trying to get on my calendar, right? He said, Carrie, I got a Hollywood script that I want to pitch to you. I want to drive across the state and share it with you. I want to take you out for breakfast, take you out for coffee, sit and talk about my script to you. Look, the guy's probably amazing, but you know what? I don't have time for that. Why? Because of my opus. And so what I said to Tim was, if you want to meet, come to the Igniting Souls Fellowship and then let's meet. Guess what? He did. So already I respect this dude unbelievably. I mean, someone who's willing to hop in a car, drive across a state to come meet with you, immediately he's got my respect. Then what does he do? He shows up early. Love it. Shows up early, sits while I'm setting up the room, begins to pitch to me. And I'm fine with that. I'm like, hey, Tim, I got to set this thing up. Can I do that? He said, yeah. He pitches it to me. I'm listening. I'm absolutely listening. Why? Because you can't do two cognitive things well. But you can do a cognitive thing and a physical thing. So I'm setting up a quick banner and plugging in my laptop and all that stuff. I'm starting to get impressed by this guy. At the end of the talk that I gave, the Igniting Souls Fellowship, I hope you were there. Love it. One of the smartest things we did is started to live stream those things. Over 2,000 people came, and it's still growing on just because we did live stream. See, that was limited thinking that I had for years. Well, you know, we can't live stream this thing because I won't be able to serve the people in the room. The people in the room are amazing. They said, Carrie, if it's going to help people in Australia and South America and Europe and all that, go for it. So they allow me the privilege of doing that. Thank you, guys. If you're a live Igniting Souls Fellowship person, thank you, thank you. But here's what Tim did. At the end of the Igniting Souls Fellowship, he came forward with his credit card information filled out and joined one of my coaching programs. This guy has so much respect from me now. Why? Because I know he's serious. Folks, if you got limited time in the world, which we all do, we all have limited time. At the end of my life, I want the creator of the universe to say, you know what, Carrie, you did well with what I entrusted you with, not gave you. My life is not my own. Your life is not your own. It is a sacred stewardship. So I take that very seriously. I wake up every day and say, today could be my last day with the limited time that I have today in a sacred trust. Who or what should I invest my time in? And it's not like, oh, I'm all that, folks. This is how I think we all should operate our lives. Don't think I'm anything special. I am absolutely not. I think this is probably how you are operating. Why? Because I think the best of you. You are listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. Not many people in the world are. They're playing Pokemon. They're watching reality TV. They're more curious about the Kardashians and what they're doing with their lives. Folks, you are a stellar masterpiece. And I already have extreme respect for you because you're saying out of anything I could be doing, I'm willing to grow and I'm willing to be a soul on fire and I want to find out more and I'm hungry. So folks, already I am like blown away by you, seriously. And I think we all should be operating that way. But why am I talking about all this stuff? Because folks, I'm passionate. I can only come to you honest and real. And today this has been on my heart. Now we're going to get into strategic thinking. So what, was this all a lead up? No, this was all what's on my heart. And you guys get it fresh and raw. And I'll let you know about this other guy who, this charity guy, okay, who's basically trying to pitch some stuff. And I'm going to say, look, buddy, you're doing it totally wrong. And that's why you're getting zero results. And that's why no one is returning your calls or emails. I care too much, man. I'm sorry. That's my weakness. I care too much. I really would want to blow this guy off. Part of me does. But you know what? People didn't blow me off. There was a few people in my life who said, Carrie, I want to tell you why you stink. Seriously. I know that sounds a little weird. But, you know, if you see somebody who stinks in whatever they're doing, they're writing, they're blogging, they're podcasting, they're marketing, they're selling, it's one thing to be like, psh, whatever. I'm not going to give that guy or that gal the time of day. I'm just going to shut up. I'm just going to do my thing. But the person who says, you know what, I'm not just going to roll out my calendar for this person. I'm going to give them tests. That's what I'm doing with this guy right now. I'm saying you want to earn an hour of my time. And I'll tell you why I'm doing it for this guy. I'm doing it for this guy because there's a history there. And someone that he knows did something for me. Reached out to me when I had nothing. Gave to me when I was just a young, confused kid, right? So that's why I'm giving him tests. And the tests are this. You want to improve. You want to be better. You want to get better results. You really care about what you're saying you care about. Then you know what? I'm going to give you an hour of my time, which is a $500 gift to this guy. And I'm going to say, you know what? If you want to do that, you spend 5 hours before I spend an hour in you. And you listen to this podcast and this one and this one and this one and this one. 5 hours. Why? Because if I sat down with him, those are the first 5 hours I would tell him. I would say, hey, buddy, here's what you're doing wrong. And that there's 5 hours of my time right there. Folks, this is why you need to create digital assets. So when people who are awesome email you and say, can I pick your brain? Can I get your thoughts on this topic? You say, you know what? Here's the podcast. Here's the book. Here's the article. Not because you're trying to blow them off, but why would you spend another hour of your life saying the same exact thing that you've already said? If you want a killer legacy, folks, you need to begin creating digital assets for what you are an expert in. Because you're going to get the same question, then the same question. Dave Ramsey's getting the same question, guys. Dave Ramsey's been getting the same questions for 25 years. Dan Miller's been getting the same questions for 25 years. And what they learned very quickly was, I can either spend the next 25 years of my life having the same conversation, or I can actually create a digital asset, free or pay. And there's nothing wrong with creating a paid digital asset. It's smart. So I'm basically going to this guy and saying, you listen to these five podcasts and you outline what you learned from them and what you're going to change. Then after you submit that to me via email, then we'll sit down and I'll gift you an hour of my time if you promise to take what I've said and apply it. Why? Because he's stealing from me 1 hour of my life. Unless he promises to change something with what I'm giving him, he's stealing from me. And folks, whenever I steal from someone, I feel incredibly guilty. If I ever sit down with a mentor or someone who's uber successful, steal from them and not apply with what they're teaching me, then you know what? I'm a loser. I'm sorry to say, but I'm a loser and I owe that person. So if someone gifts me their time, I am so all ears. If I need something from somebody and they gift me their time, I just met with a guy named Joel the other day, total stud. He gifted me an hour of his time. And at the end of the time, after I paid for his lunch, I said, Joel, here's how I'm going to repay you. And I basically laid out a plan. Why? Because I'm in the same business as Joel, which is I get paid for my time. And shame on me if I'm going to steal from someone and say, hey, thanks for giving me, but I'm not going to apply anything. Imagine if I took all Joel's notes and said, forget it, buddy. You know, thanks for nothing. No, I had my laptop open. I had notes steaming off my fingers. The point is this, I respect him. That deals with respect. All right, folks, enough of my passion for the moment. But I had to share that because I've been thinking about this for a long time. And someone's going to ask me about this in the future. And I wanted to get it on audio so that I can share it with them again. Let's jump right in to strategic focus. All right, you've probably heard the phrase, you are what you think. Many of us have heard about that. You know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, a book, as a man thinketh, or just simply, you are what you think. I like a little variation from that. This is kind of something that I've come up with that rolls around in my head. It says, you don't get what you want, you get who you are, and who you are is a result of what you think. Now, let me say that again, okay? Because I got to say that again here. All right. You don't get what you want. You get who you are. And who you are is a direct result of what you think. So what does that mean? That means if you and I don't like the results that we're getting, it's because we don't like what we're thinking. Your thinking is a direct result. Right? I'm sorry, your results are a direct result of what you're thinking. So here's another thing. Here's another little phrase that people say. Watch your thoughts for they become words. Watch your words for they become actions. Watch your actions for they become habits. Watch your habits for they become character. Watch your character for it becomes your destiny. In other words, folks, your destiny is a direct link to your thoughts. Your thoughts are the seeds that give fruit and root to the destiny that you have. And so if you are not happy with your life right now, you got to change your thinking. Now, that's easy to say, change your thinking. What in the world does that mean? Well, here's a little bit more on the topic. Then I'm going to give you this crazy cool framework, FOCUS, focus. Focus. So I'm going to give you a framework and I'm going to teach you about that in our remaining minutes. But first, check this out. If you're not content with what you're getting, then you must change what you're thinking. You can become more strategic. I know some people say, I'm not good at math. I've said that many times. Some people say, I'm not good at strategy. I think, okay, maybe that's not your gift, but it doesn't mean you have to be unstrategic. It doesn't mean that you are hopeless. Sure enough, when I take the Gallup poll every time, you know, about the StrengthFinder 2.0, Marcus Buckingham, Now Discover Your Strengths, whatever. Whenever I take that stuff, on my StrengthFinder, strategic pops up big time as one of my, you know, top ones. Now, this isn't a pat on the back. There's a million others that don't pop up, okay? If you're on the StrengthFinder, which if you've ever taken that, if you haven't, it's in the show notes. Sometimes people say, Carrie, where are the show notes? I'm listening to this at Igniting Souls on iTunes or Audio Boom or Stitcher or something like that. The show notes are always over at carrieoberbrunner.com. You click blog, and then from blog, you can find the podcast. I always do a blog post big time about each episode. So if you ever say, where are the show notes? I don't know where he's talking about. carrieoberbrunner.com, look around, click blog, and then podcast is right there. But here's the point. According to Gallup, I'm able to sort through the clutter and find the best route. It's a distinct way of thinking. I'm taking this word for word. A special perspective on the world at large. This perspective allows me to see patterns where others simply see complexity. This recurring question helps me see around the next corner. There I can evaluate accurately the potential obstacles. Guided by where I see each path leading, I start to make selections. I discard the paths that lead nowhere. I discard the paths that lead straight into resistance. And I discard the paths that lead into a fog of confusion. What does that mean? I can steer the ship. Now, there's plenty of things that I can't do. Okay, my wife is a genius at five other strengths that if I didn't have, oh my gosh, I would have crashed and burned. My business would be a wreck. David has five other strengths that are completely different than mine. So I get it. I'm not saying strategy is all that. I'm saying that a lot of times people say, Carrie, you are a strategic thinker. How do you do it? How can I do it? And I think even if you weren't born that way, you can absolutely apply these five steps called focus, F-O-C-U-S, and you can get crazy good results, 10x results by applying what I'm going to teach you here now. So here's the story. Here's the metaphor. You got to catch this. It will make a lot of sense. I'm big into word pictures. I want people to take the abstract and break it down. It is something simple that they can understand. So I think we've all been on the beach with the sun, okay, with sand. I think you've been there before. I really think so. So I'm going to use that illustration to basically flesh out this point. Imagine that becoming a more strategic thinker is similar to harnessing more of the sun's power. Okay, so let me say that again. Becoming more strategic in our illustration is similar to harnessing more of the sun's power. So more sun equals more strategy. Get it? Okay. Now here's the point. If you're lying on a beach, how do you get more sun? For starters, you can lie out on a blanket, on a towel, under the blazing sun. Now, if you do that for 3 hours, you'll get a really bad burn. Okay, maybe not your skin color, but I know for me, if I lay out with my bald head for 3 hours in the sun when it's hot, I will get a fairly bad burn. Now, how can you take the same sun and the same skin and get a burn, maybe even a hole in your skin, in 3 minutes? How do you do that? Same sun, same skin. You're lying out, same place. How do you get not only a burn after 3 hours, but a hole bored into your body in 3 minutes? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about a magnifying glass. Absolutely. In the show notes, I actually have a cheese cube being fried. So just for the sake of looking at the cheese cube or a tortilla chip being fried with a magnifying glass, literally a hole being burnt into these two things. It's a cool picture. You got to check it out. I found it out on the internet and I thought it was so cool. There are no, copyrights on this picture. Why? Because someone just was crazy and wanted to burn through cheese in a tortilla chip, right? But here's the point. After a matter of a couple minutes, they do that. How? Same sun, same skin. Well, you know that a magnifying glass amplified the energy. It basically increased the energy. Now, if you can do that with cheese and a tortilla chip and a magnifying glass, imagine if you could do that with your thinking. Remember, your thinking is just like the sun's rays. How do you amplify the energy? Imagine if you had the ability to burn through obstacles in your personal and professional life. Think about that. So now it's not just tortilla chip or cheese. Now it's obstacles that are in front of you. And now you get to burn a hole through those things. How do you do it? You do this thing called focus, F-O-C-U-S. It's a new paradigm. I'm going to teach it to you now in our last few minutes. Here it goes. F is filter. F is filter. What do I mean by that? Filter means this. It means basically that I don't approach life in any other way than having a clear filter. If you want to be a strategic thinker, you need a filter. James Allen says this, until thought is linked with purpose, there is no intelligent accomplishment. What does that mean? Most people go out in the sun of life with their idea, and they basically wait for the sun to bake their idea. Just randomly just cook their idea, turn their idea into something amazing. The point is, it's going to take you a very long time. It's not going to take you 3 hours like the beach illustration. It might take you 3 years or 30 years. Why? Because when you give your afterthoughts, your leftovers, your residue, not your deep thinking, your shallow thinking, when you give that type of thinking to your project, your idea, your business, guess what? It's not going to cook at all. It is going to take so long. And here's the point. You're going to get discouraged and you're going to give up. And then what you're going to do is you're going to turn your shallow thinking to other ideas. And then those things are going to take forever to cook. Folks, you need a filter. And what do I mean by that? Filter means that you have an end goal in mind. You have an end vision in mind, and everything that you go through in life basically points to that end goal. So a guy named Martin, one of my clients, great guy, Martin Wood out of Canada, he messages me, I believe yesterday, and he says, hey, Carrie, now that I have this book in me, now that I have this vision for this book that I'm supposed to write, he says, I'm seeing it everywhere, every single thing that I go through in life, sermons, TV shows, radio, newspaper ads, magazine articles, conversations, past memories, photos, every single thing that he sees right now is currently shaping his book. And he says, is that odd? And my response back was, not at all. That's actually a very good sign that you now have a filter. See, before Martin was going through life and saying, I wonder what my next thing is. I wonder what I should do with my life. I wonder what my next 6 months in my calendar is going to feel like. He has random thinking that will slow bake anything, maybe, if he's lucky. And I don't believe in luck or chance. But now that he essentially pre-thought what he wants in life, and he said, it is a book, and it is on this topic, and it is basically going to achieve this for me and for others, now suddenly everything is being filtered. And trust me, when Martin right now is getting requests like, hey, Martin, can you serve on this one board and, you know, vote for certain things on the school, parent, PTA, whatever, whatever. Do you think Martin's going to say yes? Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me put the PTA board meeting between me and the book that I'm called to write. No, Martin is going to absolutely say, no, I cannot do that now. That's not for me. Why? Because he now has a filter. Folks, I've used this before. I'll use it again. It's about marriage. Prior to meeting Kelly, my wife, we've been married now going on 16 years, October 14th. Prior to marrying and meeting her, I would go into parties. I would go into college campus very unfocused. What do I mean by that? Every single woman that I met, I don't know. Is this the one? I don't know. I don't know. Is this girl I'm talking to the one? I don't know. You know, what if I go on let's just pretend I go on a trip over spring break where, this is a true story. We went to New York one time and did a missions project for spring break in New York, one spring break. I don't know. Is the girl next to me on the bus the one? I don't know. And you go through life and you are completely derailed with sideways drama because you don't know who is the one. And if this next conversation is going to lead you to that one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, your mind is gone. Okay, I'm sorry to say. But when you are young and single, if you're thinking about marriage or finding the right mate, you're thinking about everyone is a potential. At least I was. Maybe I'm the problem. But as a result, my focus thinking was non-existent. So what changed? Once I found the right one, everything in my life oriented around Kelly. I wanted to know what her family was like. I wanted to know what her past was like. I wanted to know what her thoughts were. I wanted to know what her dreams were. I wanted to know everything, every single thing. She became the filter whereby I began to view life. And I think you guys know what I'm talking about. If you've ever fallen in love, they become the filter whereby you process all of life. Well, guess what? No filter, no focus. I like that. That's tweetable. No filter, no focus. And sadly, that's how many of us think right now. We have no filter. We don't know what we're doing. Until thought is linked with purpose, there is no intelligent accomplishment. I don't just go to movies to go to movies. I don't just go to games to go to games. I don't just do anything just to do anything. There's a filter that says, I want to be a good father, a good husband, a good follower of Christ. I want to be, I have filters. And if I didn't have filters, that would mean that my life is basically open throttle and who cares and I don't even know. But people say, that's why you're getting good results. Yeah, that's why I'm getting good results, because I have F filter. O is orient. Orient. What does orient mean? Orient means that you turn. It means that you change your direction. It means that you shift. There's movement. So filter, you just pop a filter in. But orient is movement. And it means that you turn toward what that filter is. There's a movement. There's an action. And so many times I see people sitting on the bench. They might have a filter, but then they just have a filter and then that's it. The O is orient. You must have movement toward. So that means that if you say, for instance, let's say Dan Miller, let's say, just because he's an awesome guy, Let's say back in my life, I wanted to get in Dan Miller's space, which was true. Loved his books, loved his podcast, loved what he was doing. I wanted to get into his space. I had to orient my life, attend things he was attending, begin to communicate with him, begin to add value to him, begin to find ways that I could serve him. And what happened? We became business partners. Called Escaping Shawshank. He, Joanne, and I've been to his house. Joanne's book is fantastic. She's been on the podcast. Her book about, creating a haven of peace. Folks, I got in the Miller's space. Why? Because I oriented my life that way. Don't tell me you want to be a strategic thinker and be the same person. You need movement, shifts, etc. All right, the C is cut. C is cut. What does that mean? That means I absolutely eliminated and unsubscribed and cut and dismissed. And it's not just you turn towards something, you turn away from something else. You cut. So if you want to have that magnifying glass effect where you can walk out and boom, within minutes where it takes hours or days for other people, you get immediate effects. What do? You have a filter, you orient, and then you cut. This is what I do. So when I am trying to finish my young adult fiction book or write a young adult fiction book, I have a filter. I orient. Oh, you bet. I absolutely got things in my space that I knew would push me toward that goal. But then I cut out so many other things. I said, I'm not going to read that other book. I'm not going to keep listening to that podcast. I'm not going to go to that place. I'm not going to do that conference this year. I'm not going to do this. You need to create space for that new thing to exist. Just like a new baby. You don't say to a new baby, oh, just, you know, we live in a tiny apartment and we're just going to put you in a shoebox. Good luck. Now, if you have to do that, I get it. But probably give 5 years, you're going to say, we need another room. So what do? You prepare in advance for the space of that new reality. Some of you have not prepared for the space of success. Some of you have not prepared for the space of new wealth, new contacts. So why should God give it to you? Let me give you an example. If you want to look and buy a new house, but you never get pre-approved, you're just thinking about it. You haven't prepared for the space to bring on that new adventure. All right, U stands for unhackability. Unhackability. You have, just like a IQ potential, intelligent, right, quotient, you have a SQ potential, social media intelligence, you have EQ, emotional intelligence, you also have unhackability intelligence. What does that mean? Some people are more hackable than others. That means when they have an idea, they fail to implement. They go from ideation, right, to stagnation, right? Why do they do that? Because they haven't figured out how to become unhackable. They haven't gone from ideation to implementation, which is what I believe we are called to do. I believe that God's first act in all creation was, let there be light. And there was light, right? It doesn't say let there be light, and then he thought about it, and then he watched reality TV, and then he got some chips, and then he got some soda, then he sat on the couch, and then light came. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Ideation, implementation. You are called in God's image to co-create. I believe that we were called to ideate and implement, but then hacks come into the equation. Relational hacks, financial hacks, emotional hacks, you name it, psychological hacks, financial hacks, all kinds of stuff. You get hacked. You get stopped. You get sabotaged. And so what did I do? I created an entire conference called IgnitingSoulsConference.com. Go there now. I'm talking to you, please. Even just for the sake of looking at the schedule. Look at the schedule and you will see, and some of you maybe are already registered. Fantastic. Go there too. Go look at the schedule and you will find out that we have session after session after session on how to become unhackable. Meaning that some people get hacked every day. They can't even accomplish anything because they get hacked. They're hacking themselves many times. And hacking is not a good thing when you're talking about your brain, your body, your dreams. If you get hacked, that means somebody else or something else takes over. takes over and controls that entity. Just like if my phone gets hacked, somebody else is controlling it. Somebody else is making the calls. Somebody else is listening. And somebody else is basically pushing their own agenda on top of mine. And many of us feel that way all day, every day, that our lives are not our own. And it's because you are getting hacked and you have not learned how to increase your unhackability ratio. And so we are spending two full days in October 22nd and 23rd in Columbus, Ohio. And yes, I am talking to you. I want you there. We have 25 tickets left and then we are sold out. And we have people coming in from Australia. So I don't want to hear, well, Kerry, I live in Hilliard, Ohio, and that's in Polaris, Ohio, and I can't make it 20 minutes. Look, whatever, okay? It's you. It's your life. But Kerry, I already have something planned that week. Fine, it's your life. It's your life. You're not a bad person if you can't make it. But what I'm saying is many times we say, what is it going to cost me? Time, money, energy. I stopped saying that a long time ago. Those of you who know me, you know what I say. I ask myself, what is it going to cost me if I'm not there? And if the answer is it's going to cost me my legacy, my future, if it's going to cost me increased productivity, increased network, and net worth, then I say, I can't afford not to be there. So unhackability is a fantastic new concept that I have basically written in the Elixir Project, elixirproject.com. It's not out yet. Don't even try to buy it to get it now. Some of you bought it, and I appreciate you for your support. It's called a pre-sale. One lady said, I want it now. I bought it and I returned it. I canceled my order because I don't get it till December. No, you still want to order it, but here's the point. It's a young adult fiction book. You will look through those pages and you will find a story that resonates with you that isn't even about anything but a fiction story. But here's the point. I tell the story in a unique way so that you can see yourself in the story and you can say, oh my gosh, that's me. Oh my gosh, I struggle with that. Oh my gosh, I want to root for the main character. And you will realize soon that you are the main character. You are the main character in your life. The only other person who's more main is God. God is writing the story. It's his story, history. But he puts you in as a main character. And the only one that you have responsibility is not Donald Trump, is not Hillary Clinton, is not anybody else. The only one you are responsible for is you. You. S stands for singularity. So singularity is this. Singularity says that you have decided. You guys know I'm a fan. You know I'm a fan of the word decide. Cadere, cadere, the Latin word to cut off or kill. I am absolutely huge into singularity. So when people say, how are you doing this book? How are you and David creating Igniting Souls teams now? How did you just launch that last product? It's singularity. And singularity happens every day, every moment. So what does that mean? That means that I already know when I go to my email inbox, I am passionate about singularity. That means that unless something fits or resonates with what I've already predetermined is my focus, the answer is already no. See, most people approach life saying, I'm open to things. Maybe. And all I'm saying is, if you're married and you're open to other spouses and relationships, you are headed for disaster. If you are a business partner and you are open to taking the next business partner who comes along, you are setting yourself up for craziness. Here's the point. There is a blessing to singularity. It is actually more freeing. I don't buy the line that says, well, Carrie, I'm not free then because not all my options are open. All your options aren't open anyway. You can't fly. You can't swim underwater without an apparatus attached to you. You can't go without food for 6 months. You are not free when it comes to the laws of nature. Neither are you free when it comes to your time, your energy. You have limitations. And because you have limitations, you better have focus. You better have F filter, O orient, C cut, U unhackability, and S singularity. Folks, this was episode 81. I'd love to hear your thoughts. What do I mean by that? Go ahead, tag me on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Give me a shout out. Let me know one thing, one letter that you say, that's the one I'm missing, orient. I've had a filter, but I've sat static and stationary, and I haven't turned toward something. Fine, fantastic. Go ahead and put it out there. If you have not given the Igniting Souls a rating or review, it's super easy. You just go to iTunes on your laptop, you click ratings and reviews, and you basically spend 2 minutes writing one. Then I feature you. I'd love to feature you by name and your business on your review. I'd love to do it. It helps get the word out for us and helps more people become souls on fire, which my 2020 moonshot is to ignite 1 million souls. Lastly, if you are not coming to Igniting Souls Conference yet, folks, please, please seriously consider it. I know it's not cheap for your time or your resources. Why? Because everyone in that room is at such a high frequency because they have literally said no to certain things to be in the room. And there is an amazing commitment and energy, and you will get a 10x experience personally and professionally if you come, and if you come with a focus. You will walk away on Monday with an ROI, a return on your investment, that you can implement immediately. Action steps immediately. I am not about hype. I'm not about dancing in the aisles, jumping up and down, hugging everybody next to you. I am about you getting serious about taking your business and life to the next level of becoming unhackable. This is Carrie Oberbrunner. It is my deep, deep honor, privilege. I wake up every day excited to be able to invest in you and to know that you are going to invest in others and take action.